Sounds like everybody about found 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and start reading here at verse 3 down through and including verse 9. Let's go to verse 10. He says in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And stop reading there with that 10th verse. And today I'd like to go back to verse 4 where he says, where is the promise of his coming? How many of you believe the Lord is coming again? Amen. He's coming again. And like many of us that grew up in church, for many years now, we have heard that the Lord is coming again. Brother Charlie, from our youth up, as he said here, that they had heard this all their lives. Their fathers told them, and their fathers fell asleep, and they still had not seen the day that the Lord came to get the church and take it out of this sin-filled world. But Peter's telling them, God is not slack concerning his promises. If he said he's coming again, he's coming again. And knowing that he is coming again, we ought to be ready for that day. Or, before he comes, some of us may be called out of this world. As we said earlier about those that was under 50, that excluded a bunch of us. And we're proceeding closer and closer toward the end of this life as we know it. There's a day coming that we're all going to have to leave this world. If God tarries his coming, it could be today, it could be tomorrow. We don't know, Brother Eli, when he's coming. Nor do we know when we're leaving. If we did, it would scare us to death. And we would die prematurely because of the fear of that day. I don't fear death, I dread death. I don't fear it because I know where I'm going. But I dread it because I've never walked through that doorway before. It's just common sense, like somebody having surgery or a procedure. There's some dread that is there. Some fear because you've not maybe been there before. But we do know this. The Lord said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. But even where the family can't go, God can go. Amen. When we can't be there because of circumstances, we can call on one that there is nothing that can prevent him from being with our families and our loved ones, regardless of what is going on in their life. So we know the Lord is coming. We just don't know when he's coming. And throughout our life, how many of you remember times that man has publicized it that on a certain day that the Lord is coming because they've looked at some Mayan calendars, or they've looked at some astronomical signs, and they said, this is the day that the Lord is going to come. That day came and it went, and the Lord did not come. Because the Bible says that even the angels don't know the day nor the hour. And to go even above that, Christ himself don't know the day nor the hour. Only God knows that day. But be sure, God is going to send him to correct all the things that's wrong with this world that we live in today. And when I say that, let me backtrace for just a minute. When he comes, our civilization as we know it today is going to come to an end. He's coming in the clouds of glory to get his church and take us home to be with him. And I know there are many different beliefs, Brother Billy, based upon which millennial doctrine that you believe in. And when I say millennial doctrine, we all believe in the millennial reign of God and Christ. One way or another. You're either pre, post, or all millennium. And people say, I'm confused. Does that mean he's coming back and setting up a kingdom? God has already got a kingdom. It's beyond the stars and the constellations and the galaxies. He's got a kingdom that he set there in the beginning of time and said, let us create man. He was there in the beginning of time when Lucifer was cast out of that kingdom because he did an uprising against God and against the throne of our Lord and Savior. But Peter was saying, repeating the question to them, where is the promise of his coming? You can read this Bible front to back. And you can see that even from the beginning of Genesis through Revelation, it's all pointing to a day that the Lord is going to come in the clouds of glory. And won't it be wonderful there when he comes and gets us and take us out of this world? And you say, but in order for us today to put our whole trust and faith in God, we've got to know something about him. We've got to know something about this man who has made this promise. And I began to do some research, and I found out in the Bible there are over 8,000 promises that man has written down that God gave to each and every one of us. From the word promise itself, there's over 200 promise. The word promise that is in the Bible by itself. And you say, why is that tied to today's message? And it's tied to it because of this. Every one of those promises, he's been faithful. Hallelujah. Every promise he made, he's delivered. Every prophecy that he gave to us today, he's delivered. In fact, and I didn't come to preach doctrine this morning. I just come to give you what God laid on my heart. There's many different beliefs about God's promises and his words in the millennial reign and even about how things are going to transpire. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I know this. He's coming in the clouds of glory. The church is going to be called away, and there's fervent fire is going to rain upon this earth. And it'll be destroyed, but it won't be destroyed. It will burn and burn, and the fire will never be quenched. A few weeks ago, or maybe I should say a while back, because time does get away from us, I was asked to take care of a funeral service. And the statement was made in that request is, just don't do any of that fire and brimstone preaching. People know it's real, but they don't want to hear about it. Let me tell you today, you'll either escape the fire or you'll be left behind to die and die, but never die. The Lord is coming, church. Can I get an amen? He is coming. And the question was, where is the promise? Did he not say unto them, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up? And they said, but this temple has been many years in the building. There's no way that you can build it back in 3 days. He wasn't talking about the building they was in. He was talking about his building. Did not the Bible give us a promise that in the future a Messiah would come? And this Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And church, can I get a witness on a Sunday morning? Sure enough, you know where he was born at? Bethlehem. You know why Bethlehem? It wasn't because that was as far as Mary and Joseph could travel. It was Bethlehem because God said it would be in Bethlehem. And God said his son in the book of Genesis, that the serpent would bite his heel, but his son would crush the serpent's head. And can I preach it a little bit this morning? On the cross of Calvary, the devil thought, we got him, we finished him. But sure enough, true to his word, he died on the cross. But on the third day, hallelujah, he got up out of the tomb. And he didn't just disappear, but Charlie, he stuck around for a while and said, let me show you the nail scars in my hands. Let me show you my side where that spear come and pierced me. But let me not just do that. I'm going to eat with you for a little while. And then after on the appointed time, he said, I'm going to send back to my father. And he went home to be with his father. But in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, as they were standing there gazing into the heavens, Terry, the writer said it like this, why, ye men of Galilee, stand here gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus you see going away, Jack, he's going to come again in like manner. And he's not coming to see what's going to happen when he gets here. There were some that posted that if the Lord was to come, if Jesus was to come back to this earth today, that they would kill him. You can't kill him today. He gave his life. But when he comes again, he's not coming as a man. He's coming as judge and ruler. And many will hear on that day. Here's that fire of brimstone, Dave. Many will hear on that day. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. But there is some of us. This ought to make you want to shout on Sunday morning. There is some of us that will hear, come, ye blessed of my Father, into the kingdom that was prepared from the foundation of the world. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll soar as eagles, and we'll rejoice that we made it to heaven by the grace of God. People say, when we get there, people sit around and talk about how they made it. What foolishness. We all made it the same way, by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. There was one drop he shed just for me. And the moment and that day that I said, Lord, save me, he come to where I was at and he saved my dying soul. Where is that promise? I've got the promise right here in my hand that he's coming again. How many of you believe he's coming again? You know what? Can I preach a little while longer on a Sunday morning? If our people feared the coming of our Lord like they fear COVID-19, our churches would be filled. We'd have to open the windows where people could listen on the outside. We have more fear of a virus than we do of the coming of Jesus Christ. Virus may kill you, but let me tell you, the coming of the Lord is going to seal your destiny for all eternity. Let me sum it up. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Another fire and brimstone preacher. Thank God for it. I did not want to die and go to hell. In fact, y'all heard me say this many times over the years that I've been here. The thing that I rejoice most about getting to go to heaven is I didn't have to die and go to a devil's hell. The fire can't touch me. Oh, the fire can't touch you if you've been saved. And people say, do you believe when I die, the moment I die, I'll be where I'm going to be? What about the great white throne of judgment? Oh, we're in the doctrine today, ain't we? Let me tell you where the great white throne of judgment happens at. The Bible says judgment must therefore begin in the house of the Lord. I was judged. And I was found guilty. But when I couldn't get to him, hallelujah, he came to where I was at. And he spoke to my heart. And he gave me an invitation like I never experienced before. And while the devil was trying to hold on to me, y'all remember that? But you say, well, did he physically have hold of you? No, he speaks to your mind and tells you, if you do this, you'll never have another good time. You're going to lose all your friends. You'll never get to experience life. The devil is a liar and the father of it. Let me tell you, you don't know what a good time is until you get to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I got to find a closing place. You see, in verse 5, he says that people are willingly ignorant of the facts of the Word of God. People say, I don't believe that hogwash. I'm just being plain this morning. They say that was stuff for our forefathers. They say that was old school doctrine. Let me tell you what the Bible says in one of God's promises, that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Another verse says it like this: he's the same yesterday, today, and he changeth not. God does not change to fit your circumstances or the country in which we live in. He does not change. But you know what has changed? God's people. Say amen. We've changed because we want to be in the world. We are. And we want to enjoy life while we're here. But don't sell your soul to the devil. There are many miserable Christians. And I believe they're saved. How many of you got people in your family, you believe their testimony that they got saved? But look where they're at. No desire to go to church. No desire to see, you know, and this really hurts me today, Sister Joan, is that people in our family that want to say, I believe what you preach and I believe the Word of God and someday I plan on getting there. And while their children have grown up and now have children and have never been saved by the grace of God, let me tell you, forget your 401k, forget your insurance plan, get your children in the house of God and let them hear the Word of God that they might get saved before they die and go to hell. Deacons say, no more time off. But it's true. People are willingly ignorant. If we ignore it, it'll just go away. And you know what? In most of our pulpits, it is going away. We won't preach about fire and brimstone anymore. We won't preach about the Lord coming back. Because if we preach about the Lord coming back, there's got to be a separation. The sheep and the goats. The wheat and the tares. All this. So we'll just ignore it. Or they say, I'll get in church when I get older. When I'm too old to do these other things. You better get there while you can. Because you have no promise of getting older. And many that I've heard through the years say that when I retire, I'll get more active in my church. You know what happens when most people retire? Their bodies are broken. They've put in all those hours of labor for the company and for providing for the family, taking care of the house and the yard and the garden and all that, and they've wore themselves out. Yesterday, last night, I told Becky, I said, I just can't go on no more. I physically was just shot. If you wait till you retire, your life will be in a nursing home somewhere, and somebody feeding you and somebody changing your diaper. This is true. So you say, Roger, what should we do? You better believe the word of God. Isaiah said it like this. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? You know what that revealing does? It tells you his promises are true. His word is true. And he is coming. And let me close with these final thoughts. Look around our world today at everything that's going on. It wouldn't surprise me with so much sin, so much hatred. Have you ever seen people so hated? You know, they hate you because you're white. They hate you because you're black. They hate you because you're some other color. They hate you because you're a male. They hate you because you're a female. They hate you because you live in a subdivision. They hate you because you live in a trailer park. You know, I've been at both ends of the spectrum, and it don't matter where you live, what you drive, where you work, people are always going to find something wrong with you. Or they'll bring up your past. Amen? But the Lord says, I'll forgive you, and I'll put your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Oh. That makes my heart do flips. Knowing that they can never be brought up against me again. The devil will bring them back up, but not God. In fact, if they're brought up, it is the devil. It is not God. We live in a time when people say, all you got to do is just say a prayer after me and you'll be saved. I didn't get it that way. How many of you remember stepping out behind the pew to make your way to an altar of prayer? You say, but that's so old-fashioned. You want people to come crying and the lady's mascara going down their cheeks, which they got that new stuff today. It don't run. But how many of you remember being in churches where the ladies got up from the altar and their mascara was off? They didn't care. Men got down and prayed, and if somebody seen that they had a hole in the leather of their shoes, it didn't matter. We worry too much about the outside and not enough about the inside. God's not coming back for the outside. He's got a new outside for you. He's coming for the inside, the soul that's there in your heart and in your life. While Shannon Robb gives us a song, the Lord is coming. How many of you have heard that preach from your youth up? He's coming. And you know what? He hasn't come yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't come today. I wouldn't be surprised if he don't come today, he don't come tomorrow. They used to sing a song that said, just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and for me. He's coming. Are you ready? Don't be willingly ignorant of the fact that he is coming. Because in the last verse I read, the 10th verse or 11th verse, he said it like this. For the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Doesn't mean he's coming at nighttime. He's given us an illustration that the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. The thief doesn't pronounce when he's coming to your house. Doesn't pronounce, hey, leave a note on the door, I'm coming to your house tonight. No, the thief comes when he thinks everybody's gone or everybody's asleep. The Lord is coming in the hour that we think not. Some are saying, well, I'm waiting for the Antichrist to come and then I'll get worried. Don't you know the Bible says that there are many Antichrists and they've been here since the beginning of time? You say, yeah, but the big one hasn't come yet. Let me tell you, look what's going on in our neighborhoods and you'll see the big one is amongst us. Amen? But all that he comes to destroy, the Lord says, come unto me, little children, and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace, and I'll give you joy. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. He's coming. Are you ready? He's coming. And if he don't come in your lifetime, you'll be leaving. Are you ready? Listen to him. Don't put it aside and say, someday I'll get right. Let this be that day. Kneel at the cross. That's where we all met him. Yes. Anybody at all this morning like to take that step of faith out and say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. One more verse, Robbie. Don't be willingly ignorant. Don't think that you can just ignore it and it won't happen. It's going to happen. Yes. Kneel at the cross. Would you make that step on this Sunday morning? In my closing remarks today, again for the third time, how many of you know he's coming again?
Amen.
And how many of us are concerned about our people that aren't ready?
Yeah.
That if he was to come, moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, this ought to grieve us for the Lord and pray for the Lord to give us a heavier burden for our people that have not made that profession of faith. How many of us worry that the Lord might come? And they'll be like the five unwise virgins. And they'll be left out. But let me put this in. If we're going to pray and be concerned about it, we better do it while we're here. Because once death comes, it's final. As a tree falls, so so there'll be no crying in heaven over those that didn't make it.
No.
I've heard them say, Emerson, people say over the years that my loved ones are up there looking down on us and praying for us and encouraging us. Folks, they are resting under the altar of God. Until the whole family. And we all get those glorified bodies likened unto God himself. And I'm at a point in my life I can use a new body. I'll take your laughter as amen. for you too. Right? God bless y'all today. Don't think that we sweep it under a rug, it's just going to disappear. Don't say just because everybody else believes it doesn't mean I have to believe it. Let me tell you, all of our forefathers were not wrong. Ask Lazarus. When he got up, he got a new life. Brother Eli. Anybody else see anything?